You're listening to the Wannabe Balance podcast. I'm Crystal Escobar, and this is episode number 122, update on our life post-Mormonism. Today I have Sean here with me. I'm going to go ahead and play a recording of a video that we did earlier today in our post-Mormon community Facebook group called Mormon Enlightenment. And as many of you already know, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know that starting at episode 21 is when Sean and I left the Mormon Church, and we spent the next 80 episodes after that sharing our entire journey, expressing every emotion, every experience that we had over the last 3 years as we have been working to unpack all of our lifelong Mormon beliefs. So today, Sean and I wanted to give everybody an update on where we are as far as our personal development goes and how we're doing since leaving the church.
Hey everybody, hope you're well. I hope everybody's healthy and able to deal with all the crazy that's been going on in the world. Because it has been crazy, and I think, you know, it's going to get a little more, crazy. All the more reason for us to really get clear on what we can control. I took a break. I mean, about a year ago, I had this, you know, you have these things happen where it's kind of like an opportunity to take inventory and say to yourself, like, is what I'm doing what I would choose to be doing if I really thought I had a choice? And so I think what happened was I went down the way of, it's in my nature to push back against the church, where the church I feel is hurting people in a lot of ways, where I feel that it is not true. And I feel that, you know, there's just so much around that is very frustrating. And I just felt like it seemed like the right thing to do was to push back. But, and it felt like I pushed back for so long, and I was kind of in that vicious cycle of, and I think you were too, I think we were, mm-hmm. where something would happen. You know, for instance, if we were still in that cycle, then the Jeffrey R. Holland talk that he gave to BYU a couple of weeks ago would have been very triggering. And it was triggering still, but if we were in that place, then it would have been triggering to the extent that it would have completely consumed us. And we would have spent every waking moment, you know, obsessing over it and talking about it and trying to convey to people that, you know, and is that healthy is the real question. And so I think we go through phases, and they talk about faith transition as if there's these phases, like it's like having someone close to you die, and you have the phase of anger and sadness, and you know, and then there's just all these different phases. Well, I think we were in that very angry, retaliatory, like, how could you do this to us? How could you do this to other people? We were in that space for 2 years.
And like Sean said, it was about 2 years of a lot of anger and like being very vocal about how we felt. And I also want to be clear that we have no regrets around what we did. We put a lot of it online and we shared it all on the podcast, but we don't have any regrets. We're just saying that it was like this thing that we were able to process, and I feel good about the way we did it, and we all deserve the chance to be heard and to express ourselves. So it may have offended a lot of people, but we still have no regrets because we deserve our chance to express how we feel, why we left, what upsets us. And that is what we did in about 80 episodes on the podcast. And it was very therapeutic for me. And I feel very good that we were able to get it all out there and make it known. It's better for us, we feel, to put it all out there instead of, you know, be silent about it, pretend. That's just our way of wanting to be and live our most authentic life. So yeah, we don't have any regrets, but over the last year, we have changed or evolved in just a slight way, where we feel like we did get it all out there for the most part. Every once in a while, I feel like I want to say something and I'll, you know, put it out there, but it comes out a lot less angry. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where I can express how I feel and what I'm going through without the anger, but it's just very honest and raw. So the last year we have really kind of taken a little step back, meaning not that we don't want to be involved in anything post-Mormonism or want to know anything about what's going on. We do stay up on all of it, but it is far less triggering and it takes a lot less of our emotional energy when something does come up, like Sean said, with the recent talk and things come up and we hear what's going on, but it is far less triggering. So that is a nice thing to see in our own evolution, that we can hear these things and see what's going on, still be just as passionate about the movement here that all of us are a part of, which I think is a beautiful thing. We're all playing our own role and doing what we can to expose the church, allow them the opportunity to practice more tolerance and acceptance. You know, that's the only way they're going to be forced to accept the people who are leaving the church, is to give them these opportunities. It is a beautiful thing for all of us to take part in that. And that's why in the beginning, we were so passionate about everybody doing their Freedom Day post. And if you don't know what that is, just search Freedom Day and you'll see a lot of people who have done their Freedom Day post, which is basically just expressing your feelings about the church, your reasons and decision for leaving the church, and putting it out there for everybody. And I don't see how that is disrespectful to people's beliefs in any way, because we're all on our own personal journey. So allowing everybody that chance to speak their truth, I think, is a beautiful thing. And that's what the Freedom Day posts were all about. And we wanted to support everybody being brave enough to speak out and share and be open about the fact that they've left the church. We don't want you to have to hide. And the more people that go first and step forward and do this, the safer it is for others to do the same. And it's less scary, because I know it is a very, very scary thing to announce on social media or announce to your family, send out an email to your family members and let them know of your decision and why. It is an extremely scary thing, and we know that, but we definitely are grateful for the people who get to a point where they feel ready to do that, because it really is all about the movement and helping others who inevitably will be coming after us feel like it is not so scary and it's a much safer thing. So yes, we have gotten to a place where we're not as involved, less things trigger us. We were invited to a few church things, and that was great. I didn't feel weird about that at all. It was more of like, it wasn't at the church, but it was like a neighborhood thing. It was nice to be invited to, and to see that our neighborhood / ward is making an effort to include everybody in the neighborhood, not just the Mormons. So I liked that. And oh yeah. And we did, Sean posted a while ago that we did choose to let Lily go to this year's girls camp. And do you want to explain why you felt like, I mean, which is something we would have never done 2 years ago, because we were very against all of the church stuff, but why do you think you decided to let Lily go to girls camp this year?
Well, before I did let her go, she actually went with a friend. And so I talked to that friend's mom, who we're really close with. You know, there's people that are Mormon, and then there's people that are wacko fanatical Mormon, and then there's people that are kind of in the middle, and then you've got your, of course, your Jack Mormons, as they call them. But the people in the middle, you know, we feel comfortable talking to them about how we feel. And so we just talked to her, and she understood why we would have concerns and apprehensions. And she assured us that she would talk to the leadership of the young women's, and that she would just make sure that there's no inundation. There's no like requirement to share testimonials. There's no requirement to attend the testimonial meeting. And so, you know, it kind of makes you feel better because those kinds of opportunities to be with the other girls and to just kind of have fun camping, you know, that's the parts that people like about Mormonism. It was funny about 2 weeks ago, we were sitting outside. I don't know what was going on with Crystal. Did you talk about how you were missing out on the community?
No, but I did mention that we've been invited to things.
Yeah. So. Well, Crystal had, you know, basically, you know, if she would go to a school thing, or if she would go, you know, see girls in the neighborhood and they're all gathering and talking, it's only human nature to feel like, you know, are we excluded? Are we left out? Do we fit in? You know, and I think other people probably feel it even more than we do, because I think we've been very outspoken, and therefore we kind of, I kind of figure, well, if they don't want to include us in anything, then that's perfectly understandable. And I'm okay with that. But Crystal, from time to time, if we haven't gotten together with people, which, you know, we haven't been getting together with people very much just because of COVID and everything, and don't want to, you know, we don't want to offend anybody and hurt anybody's feelings around that. And we want to be respectful of people. So with that in mind, Crystal was having one of those moments where it's like, you know, oh my gosh, I kind of miss the community. Because if you think of Mormonism, if you remove the doctrine, if you remove the theology, and you remove the obedience and the patriarchy, then it is a way to get familiar with your neighbors. And people put value on that. And I think a lot of people, that's why they're involved. With that said, Krista was missing, you know, more familiarity with the neighbors and so forth. And I can understand that. You know, that's I think that everybody probably goes through that. Yes. But I will say that, you know, and I told Crystal that leaving the Mormon Church is my most proud accomplishment. It really is. I mean, I don't know if it's your most proud accomplishment, but it's my most proud accomplishment. And the first thing that goes through my mind whenever I say that is, isn't having children your most proud accomplishment? And then I think to myself, anybody can have a child. And then I think, you know, isn't getting married to Crystal my most proud accomplishment? It's like, anybody can get married to somebody. Isn't being successful in business, or, you know, isn't that my most proud accomplishment? And then it's like, no, everybody can be successful. But what I'm beginning to understand is that not everybody is willing to leave those parameters that they're born into. That's actually quite rare that people, especially when not a lot of other people are doing it. So in my family, I'm the only one that's left the church. To my knowledge, I mean, maybe other people don't believe it, but maybe they're faking it. But to my knowledge, I'm the only one that has openly said, no, I choose not to believe in this. I have a choice, and now I choose not to believe in this. I just wanted to share something about what happened at the soccer game. Was it the soccer game on Saturday? Just to show you that when you live in Utah, when you're around Mormons, you know, these triggering things happen all the time. And there I was at the soccer game and said hello to a guy that I'm familiar with. And we got to talk, and somehow, some way, he's in film, and my abuse story came up. We had mutual connections, and it turns out that the Discovery Channel was at our house about 2 weeks ago, and they were, they're doing a documentary on the abuse story. And so it was kind of fresh on my mind. It opened up a whole can for both of us, I'm sure. I mean, I got really mixed up emotionally for 10 days there. I couldn't even hardly function after the filming. John DeLynn's going to be in the film. Ryan McKnight from Truth and Transparency is going to be in the film. So it's exciting because it's going to reach and help a lot of people, but, you know, it kind of stirs things up for you again. Just stirs them up. And anyway, talking to this individual, visiting with the fella, this comes up. And then, you know, of course, you know, it's the church thing. And I always tell people, I'm pretty proud that I've left the church. So I always tell active members, like, I put it out there, like, I left the church. I don't know why I feel the need to do that. I think it's because I don't like it how people assume you're in the church, or assume that, you know, you have, I just don't like that. And so my whole thing is to always stand tall and to let people know where I am. And so I told him where I was, and, you know, and then it proceeded. And then he had said something, we had said something about the LGBTQ issue with the church. And he had said, well, my brother just came out as gay. And I said, oh, good. You know, and then he goes, well, you know, what's not good is that he got married in the temple and he had all these children and now he's dropping this on them. And I'm just looking at that going, thinking to myself, I still don't understand why that's a bad thing. How could someone not coming out as gay? How could someone coming out as gay ever be a bad thing? That's someone basically saying, this is what I am. That's like me leaving the church. That's like me saying, this is what I am. How can that be a bad thing, being what I am? Well, he went on to say, well, I just wish he wouldn't have had those children. And I just wish he wouldn't have gotten married. And I wish he wouldn't have done this to that woman and those children. And I sat there and I go, done it to him. I kind of started to get a little bit hurt and offended for the brother and for all LGBTQ people, because this is the way that they're viewing that. And I said, wait a minute, you do realize he didn't choose to be gay. That's not a choice. And then he goes, well, yeah, but he did choose to marry that woman and to have those children. And it didn't sit well with me. And so I said, I disagree with you. And he was like, okay. But I think this is part of what we have to do as post-Mormons is we have to call them on their bullshit. That's my opinion. We have to be strong. We have to be brave. We have to stand tall. We don't need to be belligerent, but we are educated and we do know things and we don't just, you know, shrink. We don't. And so when he said, then he went on to say that my brother had a choice. My brother had a choice. He chose to have those children. He chose to marry that woman. And I said, a choice. I just went, a choice, really? I was like, do you think I felt like I had a choice when I went on my mission? I didn't have a choice. He goes, sure you did. You had a choice. You didn't have to go. And I said, shit, that's ridiculous. So this is where we come back to the passive aggressive pressures that exist in Mormonism that are so unhealthy and so toxic, where it's like, if I didn't go on a mission, then I'm a piece of scum. If I didn't go on a mission, then I'm not worth my weight. If I didn't go on a mission, then I'm not living up to the expectation of the family. I'm not, my brother is the Nephi. My brother is the mighty one that has the spirit of whatever. What am I? I'm just scum. So it's like, if I don't do that, I don't appease my father, who was my idol and my hero and who I just wanted to make happy and proud, you know, as a good son. I just wanted to do that for him. And so I looked at him and I says, he didn't have a choice, just like I didn't have a choice. I was required to reform and go on a mission. And then I said, he did not have a choice. And he said, he had a choice. You always have a choice, he said. I said, okay, let me tell you what the choice is. Do you know what the choice is? He could choose to be his true self and he would thereby be choosing eternal consequences, which is he forfeits his you know, celestial glory and his forever family. Nice choice. I told him, I said, that'd be like sitting at the edge of a cliff, holding a brand new, a newborn baby. And they say, chuck it off the cliff. And you go, no, well then chuck it off the cliff. I'll give you a choice. Chuck it off the cliff or I'll shoot you with this gun. And you're just like, you're caught between two evils. It's not good to not be yourself, but what's the consequence? If you're not, if you decide to be your true self, what is the consequence? That's not a choice. There's no choice there as far as I'm concerned. And Crystal, you pointed to that out a zillion times that, yeah. You know, what's like, your choice? Live a life of inauthenticity without love or choose to be your true self and suffer eternal consequences and lose your family.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like a big thing that would come up all the time with the whole tithing thing. When you did that video about the tithing and people were all upset, like, well, you weren't forced to pay that tithing. And it's just the same thing. It's like, really, we're not forced? Like, what's the alternative? If we don't pay the tithing, we forfeit our eternal family and all of our blessings from the temple and being temple worthy. So it's just one of those things that I do appreciate that Sean made that guy aware of this, because I wonder if it's just something that Mormons don't even think about, they don't realize. So I appreciate when these types of conversations can be had, where in a kind and respectful manner, you can point out a new perspective. And that's what I think is so great when we do have these conversations with Mormons. We can point out a different perspective, and we can do it in a way that is kind and respectful and just a healthy debate, really.
Yes. So the other thing I wanted to mention was, it's hard. It's actually really hard. You know, I think I pretended for those 2 years, maybe longer, I think I pretended that my own family has been so great. And, you know, in reality, I don't think my family's been great. I don't think I have much of a family. In reality, I think my parents are just sorely disappointed in me. And they've told me that before. I mean, they basically said, "We're disappointed." What does that even mean? Like,
well, yeah, they say, yeah, we support you and we accept it, but of course we're disappointed. And it's like, well, that hurts, you know?
Yeah. The word disappointed, I don't know if these people realize that, you know, for someone like myself, that I pride myself on being capable and showing up and being a team player, and, you know, family's everything to me. And the word disappointed is about as low as you could go in terms of effect on me. So it's almost like, for me, it's almost like an abusive term. We're disappointed in you. Like, what am I, a child molester? Really? You're disappointed in me? So this is hard. And, you know, as time's gone on, I realize how severe the cognitive dissonance is in my family. And, you know, but to be truthful, like, I'm also realizing how fake we were as Mormons, because we were so goddamn fake. We'd pretend like we had these relationships as siblings that weren't really there. I mean, I'm not close to my siblings, if I'm being truthful. If you say, "Do you love your siblings?" Yeah, I love them. But what do I love? I love the memory of them. I hardly know them anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was even before I left the church. Everybody just, we're not as close as Mormons, you know. I think probably by and large, it's fake. You pretend that it's all hunky dory. You pretend your family is so close. You have these little get togethers, but you ever have really deep, meaningful conversations? No, it's all surface level stuff, because you can't go there in Mormonism unless you're one of those havesies, which we can't make sense out of them either. How can you be a Mormon who believes wholeheartedly in the gospel and that the prophet is the prophet of God? He speaks to God. He's God's oracle. And then the prophet of God basically commands you to go get the vaccine, and you don't go get it. And you say to yourself, "No, I'm not going to go get that vaccine. There's a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy. I don't believe in the vaccine." And the Mormon church is having this incredible pushback from its members. I would call them, what do you call those Mormons that are kind of like, they pretend like they really believe it. It's more about their identity. It's like, I'm a faith-filled person. I'm a religious person. I'm a Mormon. I'm a, you know, fifth generation Mormon. But then you look at their life and they're breaking the Sabbath, and they don't do a lot of things. Like, they just pick and choose what they feel is important. But then every now and then you see a post about how special the prophet is to them, and a post about, you know, Jesus, and a post about the church. And then you just confused. You're like, what are you? You know, why do you get to play both sides of the field? It's actually very confusing, but neither here nor there. When I first left the church, someone told me it's actually the really literal believers who leave the church. The people that are kind of half in, half out, and kind of just like, they kind of pivot and they make it work the best they can, these are the hardest people to get out of the church, because they rationalize and justify everything. The culture of post-Mormonism can be, in my opinion, extremely confusing. I think the culture of post-Mormonism, you can go the route of party hard and all that, and like relive maybe all those freshman year of college that you never got to do. And, but Crystal and I, again, have seen the disastrous effect of that. And maybe we're set up to disappoint. Maybe the church kind of did that to us. It's like, you are going to fail. Why? Because this cult really did something where they're like, you're not going to survive without us. And they put it in your head that you're going to fall apart and that you're going to crash and burn. And so you do, a lot of people. And so we tasted some of that. We got a taste for some of that. And then it was like, oh shit. Like, we could see, the two of us, how that can continue to go downhill really, really in a hurry. There's another culture of post-Mormonism that's Mormon. I shit you not. Like, these are people who, they really did love their time in Mormonism. Now, I hated my time in Mormonism, hated every moment of Mormonism, hated everything about it. I'm just being totally brutally honest. But I think there's another demographic of post-Mormons. They leave because integrity matters to them and truth matters to them, but they actually loved every second of being in the church. And you'll see that that demographic of post-Mormons, where they still don't drink, they don't hardly swear, they don't do nothing. They're pretty much Mormon, except they just don't go anymore. It doesn't matter. I'm not putting any judgment on it. And then I think there's probably another group of post-Mormons that, you know, they just kind of, they go quiet, and you just don't hear from them. And they just kind of, I think they're so hurt and they're so burdened. I don't know that that's right either. I don't know what's right. I really don't know what's right.
Yeah. It's like, we don't know what's right. But really what we have come to understand is that we are all on our own individual journey. And I think we can learn a lot, by being in this community and learning from each other. And, So we're not here to tell you like what's the best, most healthy way to leave Mormonism. We're just sharing our experience and also sharing the things that we've seen that hopefully we can just practice a lot of awareness around, not with fear, because it's not like we don't want to make anyone afraid of the pitfalls and, you know, how things can fall apart a little bit, because, you know, I think that, you know, we all find our way back, not back to the church or back to God necessarily, but we find our way back to a good, healthy middle ground. And I think that's kind of what happens. We're on this pendulum. You know, I like to see that. That's the example. Like, we're way over here as Mormons. And then once we leave the church, we go way over here, and like, that's not healthy either. So it's kind of like us going back and forth until we find that good, healthy middle ground. So that's our message really around that, is like, we don't want to instill fear. It's just like, it's okay. You might go a little extreme and be a little crazy, but we're going to find our way back into a good, healthy balance.
You got to find your tribe, right? And not everybody in Mormon Enlightenment, I'm just going to put it out there. Mormon Enlightenment, I absolutely love it. Because in my experience, these are honest people. These are people who, you know, they care about truth. They care about honesty. They care. These are your truth seekers. It means a lot to me. I think we are, in Mormon Enlightenment, are people who want to find that middle ground. That would be my assessment of Mormon Enlightenment. We're those people who, we're acknowledging you may swing all the way that one side of the pendulum. You may stay on the other side of the pendulum. But I think ultimately Mormon Enlightenment, in terms of culture, our hope is that we can find that middle ground and then find a sweet spot. Now, my sweet spot might be different than your sweet spot. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. It's been so neat to not have the politics. It's been so neat to not have the social, all of the social garbage. Like, we just want this community to be a safe space, which is what it's become, a safe space for people who need the support and they need some guidance and they're looking for their core little nucleus tribe of, you'll find them. You know, you really only need a handful, maybe two, of really close post-Mormon friends and we have that. And everybody, John DeLynn has that. John DeLynn, every now and then he'll go on a trip, an adult trip, with that core group of really close-knit people who they connected with when they first left the church all those years ago. And you'll find those people. And this is a great environment where you can find those people. And you'll know, it'll just click naturally. I went to, I went on a car ride over the weekend with one of my best friends who is a me member. And it was funny because he was telling me, you know, we vibe off all kinds of things that he was telling me. He's like, you know, I really hate this group family chat that my family has me in. And I said, oh, you're still in the family chat. And he goes, well, yeah, but they talk about church stuff all the time and they don't consider that it triggers me. And then I said, well, I had to leave my family group chat because it does piss you off. And his point was like, he's like, I don't ever come in there and try to push like Satan on them or satanic rituals or any, no, not that that's his stuff, but he's like, how offended would they be if I brought some of my beliefs that I have adopted now and that I'm learning about? And what if I bring those to the table like they keep doing it to me? And I think part of the problem is, you know, and I was very outspoken with my own family. It's like, this is what I don't believe and you're going to know about it. And, you know, I'm not coming and having your church prayers. You're not saying Mormon prayers around me or my children. But at the same time, they always drop these things. They're just like passive aggressive in nature. And I don't even think they're choosing it. It's just part of them now. It's part of their DNA. And I had to leave my family group chat. And my family relationships right now are not good. If I'm being truthful with you, they're not good. And I'm not putting judgment on myself for that. And I'm not putting judgment on my family for that. I'm just starting to recognize that, you know what? My family might say, well, we won't cut you out. We're going to just keep loving you. And you get, you know, we're going to be there for you. And it's like, but they're really not there for me because they don't know how to be. And it's impossible. And so I'm kind of like to this place now where I'm like, I don't really want to play anymore, guys. That's where I'm at. It's the weirdest thing for me because I could never have seen it coming to the point where I'm just like, this isn't healthy for me or what I'm hoping to become or what I'm. So therefore I'm taking a step back. I'm forging new boundaries. And you know what? It's okay. I wasn't close with them before. And even if I was, it's still okay. It's okay, you guys. If those family relationships aren't working, or if you need to form new boundaries, or, you know, let's say you were best friends with your brother and you can't be anymore. Guess what? Don't, the Mormon in you wants to beat yourself up over that. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Just please know that it's not about you. It's not about your brother. It's not. You just have to say to yourself, this is just the way things are happening and it's flowing. And as long as you just, this is my experience. It's like, I'm not having regrets. I'm not doing anything to out of retribution or revenge or intimidation or manipulation. It's just like, this is what's happening with me. And this is where I'm going with this now. And I'm creating space and I'm creating boundaries.
Yes.
And the good news is the future's bright. Yes. So just keep, I have to look at myself in the mirror every day and just say, hey, buddy, you know, you're right where you're supposed to be. Everything's okay. You know, you're awesome. I tell myself this, like, you gotta start doing affirmations. It actually works. Like, I'm powerful. I'm in the right. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I've done the right things. You know, good is coming my way. And, you know, all kinds of things like this. And then trace back your fear. When you have fears, talk to them about that.
Yeah, I wanted to close this out by talking about some of our most recent aha moments, which, you know, a lot of things we found a lot of clarity this past year in different ways, unexpected ways. And one of them being, like, when we first left the church, we really did have this belief that it was only a matter of time before the rest of the family would be coming. And I'm talking about Sean's family because most of my family is already out and has been out of the church for years. So it was just a party for me with all my sisters. I could drink wine with them and they were just like so excited. So, but my mom, on the other hand, that's a whole different story. And I don't really have a relationship with her anyway. So I've already kind of grieved that relationship and processed that years ago, even before leaving the church. But with Sean and his family, like Sean especially had this belief that like, oh my gosh, it's only a matter of time. Like they're all coming out. It's over for the church. And we even had this like time frame in our head. Like I guarantee you the next 3 to 5 years, they're all out. And the church within the next 10 years, the church will just be like historical buildings, you know, museums where people just go see what once was. And that was our literal belief. We just had this excitement, I think, around how everybody was going to be leaving the church along with us. And we were just so convinced. But I think one of the things that we had to come to terms with is reality. And sometimes reality, accepting reality, is not fun. And it becomes this whole new dark night of the soul thing. And I think Sean has experienced his version of the dark night of the soul that I talk about multiple times in various episodes on the podcast, but he never had the same experience that I did. And I always wondered, like, why hasn't he had this, like, the dark night of the soul? Why hasn't Sean had that experience? And then I always thought, well, maybe because he wasn't as converted to the beliefs as I was. Maybe he, deep down inside, he always knew it wasn't true. And so it wasn't as much of a shock for his worldview and the way he saw himself and his purpose and all of that. So that's kind of the way I defined it. I'm like, well, maybe it's just because we saw it differently and his beliefs weren't as deeply ingrained as mine, because his parents were actually first generation Mormons and I come from a long line of Mormons. So I was thinking that was another explanation, like, oh, it's like literally in my DNA. Mormonism is in my DNA and Mormonism is not in Sean's DNA. So he was not born into the church. He was born into the culture, yes, but not into the church. And but yeah, the realizations that we're having is one, accepting the fact that not everybody's going to leave like we thought they were. And also getting to a place where we're understanding the seasons of life and the fact that everything is ever changing. And as much as we love certain parts of our lives, you know, like I always think back to my experience in high school and how when I was in it, I hated it and it was stressful and overwhelming. But of course, there were always the fun memories that I did have. And so once it was finally over and I graduated, and like a few years down the road, I would hear a song that reminded me of high school or something, and I would be a little bit sad. I'm like, oh, I miss my high school days. And that's how I look at life sometimes, where we sometimes grieve the fact that we are no longer in a certain season of our life and we become sad about it, almost like we wish it were different. But really, if we were of the mindset that, no, that was me as a high school woman, that was me as a mother raising babies, you know, and every season of life has its beautiful moments and stressful moments. Because now looking back, you know, I remember when I was having newborns and babies all the time and how stressful and overwhelming that was for me. I wanted to be in my next season of life because I was so overwhelmed and exhausted. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, I miss having those new babies and I'll go back, you know. But that's, it's more of like awareness, realizing that if we can get to a place where we're actually embracing every part of the seasons that we're in, we'll never have those feelings of, oh, I wish I could go back, because we fully embraced every bit of it, the good and the bad. And we just allow it to be what it is. And we accept reality to be what it is. But now we finally come to terms with, you know, this part of our life, this season of our life, where we do have to let some things go. And as we let go of certain things, we are only making space for more and more and new beautiful things to come our way. So if that's one message I can leave with you guys today, is to embrace letting go and not look back. You know, I'm not saying this is everybody's experience, because I know there is a lot of trauma in the church as well. So it's not like we always have these fond memories, but there is always a part of us that's going to wish that it was a certain way. Stay focused on the fact that you are making space for new things to come into your life. And that's kind of what our mantra is right now, is to let things go. Material things, emotional things, letting things go is going to put us in the best frame of mind and in best, healthiest emotional state to receive new things that are unimaginable at this point in our lives. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know where our life will be in 5 years, but just expect that as you let things go, you are opening up yourself and for new, amazing things to come into your life. This is something that I feel like all of us will be processing for years to come, but not in a way that is sad and depressing, but only empowering. So let's continue to empower each other as we shed off all the Mormon layers that are not easy to shed off. But as we can support each other and help each other through this, it will just empower us all.
Thanks for listening to the Wannabe Balanced podcast. Get access to free resources available at wannabebalanced.com. If you love the show, then leave a review or share it with a friend. Until next week.